my very great honor and pleasure to be amongst you this evening in this very holy place where we remember Srila Prabhupada and the matchless gift that he so lovingly gave to the world. Here in 22nd Avenue, Srila Prabhupada sat in this very place, speaking the ancient treasures of the essence of the great Vedic literatures. Vedaishta sarabhaya ahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chava. Krishna tells him that he is the compiler of the Vedas. He is the knower of the Vedas. By all Vedas, ultimately he is to be known. That these teachings, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitramitamutam, highest knowledge, king of knowledge, most pure, the greatest secret of all secrets. But how is it that Krishna is saying that it is the greatest of all secrets, and yet there's perhaps more editions of Bhagavad Gita circulated in the world than any other book in history? If you want to keep a secret, do you print it, publish it, and have it distributed everywhere? When Srila Prabhupada was here in New York City in 1966, he utilized other editions of Bhagavad Gita. But he came to the conclusion that there wasn't a single English translation amongst so many that touched the true spirit of Gita. Therefore, he printed and published his own translation, Bhagavad Gita as it is, revealing the great secret of the essence of the true knowledge of Gita. Krishna tells Arjuna that you can understand this knowledge because you are my devotee and you are my friend. Unless one understands Krishna as he is, sarva-dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja, unless one surrenders to Krishna, they can't understand what is Gita. So we learn the process of surrendering, we learn the process of knowledge by those who have actually surrendered their lives to Krishna. What does it mean to surrender? Krishna tells us in 18th chapter of Gita, Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yashim dandamaskuru mam evaishashi sharkyante prati janitriyosh. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. This is my promise, for you are my dear friend. To love is to serve. There are many impersonalist philosophers who translate the word bhakti as
devotion.
But Srila Prabhupada, in the line of our great acharyas of Parampara, he translated the word bhakti in a revolutionarily new way to the Western language. He translated it, bringing out the essence of the spirit of bhakti, devotional service. Essence of life is to serve. The expression of love is to serve. The disease of material consciousness is that we want to enjoy, we want to exploit. We have this predominating ego that wants to lord over material nature. This is the root cause of all conflict, all suffering. How to overcome this? By awakening the natural spirit of the soul to serve, to live for the pleasure and the enjoyment of the object of our love. This is the innermost necessity of the heart, to experience unconditional love. This body, this mind, our words, to utilize them in a spirit of servitude is actual renunciation. There was a grihasta, his name was Shivananda Singh. Is today his disappearance day or something like that? Today or tomorrow? Shivananda Singh, one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, he had a wife, he had children, but everything was for the service of the Lord. Thakur Bhaktivinoda prays, Manaso deho geho jo kichu mor apilum tuapade nanda kishor. My dear Lord, my mind, my body, my words, my family, my wealth, my very life, I surrender to you. This is real wealth, this consciousness. Shivananda Singh, he lived a simple life. He worked for a living. What did he utilize his income for? He sustained his family according to their needs, and they were very happy. Probably the most blissful, more blissful family than anybody has seen in this age. And every year, he would lead all of the devotees, usually 300 to 400 devotees, from Bengal, Navadvip, Shantipur, Shrikanda, and all these villages, all the way to Jagannath Puri. That's many, perhaps almost 1,000 kilometers. And they would have to walk. There was no railways, there was no cars, no buses, no planes. They would walk. And walking with so many hundreds of people, there were no guest houses, there was no Holiday Inns or Sheraton Inns or Taj Mahal hotels in those days. They would actually have to make, he would have to arrange facilities every night for the devotees to rest. There were no restaurants. He would have to arrange bhoga to be bought. He would have to arrange cooks to make wonderful prasad to give to all the devotees every morning, every afternoon, every night, wherever they happen to be. This is serious management. Plus, there was dangerous areas. At that time, India was not like one country. There were so many little kingdoms by different rival kings. And you had to pay taxes. It's like here in New York, every time you cross a bridge, practically you have to pay tolls. Mm-hmm. There was tolls. If you wanted to cross the river, you had to pay tolls. If you wanted to cross from one region to another, you had to pay tolls. And most of the devotees who were going with them were very, very simple people. He would arrange for the tolls for everybody. And then he would do the same thing to bring them back from Jagannath Puri to Navadvipa. And it is explained that Shivananda saying he was just so happy to serve the Vaishnavas. Every year he would do this. Never complained. One time Lord Nityananda Prabhu wanted to show the world what is the quality of Shivananda's saying selfless love. It's a mysterious story. But if you can enter into this mystery, you understand what is life meant to be. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was waiting for some food. Shivananda Sen, poor man, was held up by some very corrupt tax collector. And he was like trying to pay the taxes for everybody, and he was trying to go as fast as he could, but they were delaying him and delaying him and delaying him. He sent everyone else forward. He stayed back to make all of the different legal arrangements. Nityananda Prabhu was saying, "Where is Shivananda? I am so hungry I can die. I curse his children to die." Hare Krishna. So Shivananda Sen's wife was very unhappy about this. So Shivananda Sen came back after doing everything, and his wife was crying. "Do you know what Nityananda said?" "What?" "He cursed our children to die." He said, "Oh, very good." "Whatever is his wish is our command. If for the inconvenience I caused him, if this is the atonement, it must be." Then he went and he arranged a place for Nityananda Prabhu to stay. Then he arranged nice, wonderful prasad for Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And then he came and offered his obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu kicked him in the chest with his foot. And Shivananda Sen was so happy. He was ecstatic. He said, "My Lord, you are so merciful." Said, "The same lotus foot that is worshipped by Lakshmi Devi, that Brahma and Shiva and the demigods are longing and performing great austerities for many, many years to achieve, those same lotus feet have touched my chest. Out of your causeless mercy, today my home, my family, my life, all of my activities have borne its fruit of fulfillment because I have received the dust of your lotus feet." And Nityananda Prabhu embraced him. Very happy. His children did not die. Lord Nityananda Prabhu had no intention of doing that, but he wanted to show the world what is a real selfless service attitude. And this man was a man with children. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya loved his children so much that one time Shivananda Sen came to Puri, and his wife was back in Navadvip area. She was pregnant, carrying a child. And he told Lord Chaitanya, and he was very happy, very happy. He told Shivananda, "When he is born, you can name him Paramananda Puri." Hare Krishna. So the next year, or sometime later, they brought this little baby. When he got back to Mayapur, the child was already born. And they brought the baby the next year. And they set it before Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya gave a favor to that baby that, as far as recorded history concerned, we don't find anyone who got mercy like this child. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his lotus-like toe in the baby's mouth. He sucked on the toe. Haribo. And what happened? He became so completely purified. He later became known as Kavi Karnapur, one of the greatest authors of transcendental literatures, one of the greatest preachers of the absolute truth of pure love of God. Selfless service. Sanatana Goswami, when he was traveling through the Jharikhanda forest, he was living such a simple life. He had nothing. Although he was prime minister of the king, he was practically a billionaire by today's standards. He had an incredible castle. Have any of you been to Ramkeli? Such an incredible facility. He had gardens, beautiful lakes, palaces, immense wealth, immense power, prestige. He was young, he was handsome, he was everything that a man could want materially. But he actually left it all to dedicate his full time and attention to the service of the Lord. And as he was traveling through the jungle, there was nothing to eat. He would just find some roots and some berries, or sometimes he would go to some simple tribal person's home and beg some alms. One time he drank some water from a forest pond. That water was contaminated, and he got a horrible disease. His entire body was covered with itching, burning rashes. It became so acute that blood and pus was flowing from the sores all over his body. So Sanatana Goswami was thinking that this body is not fit to serve the Lord. It's abominable. Who wants to receive any service from a body like this? Therefore, during the Rath Yatra in Puri, in the presence of Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will throw this body beneath the wheel of the chariot of Lord Jagannath. And because I die in such an auspicious environment, there is good hope that I will get a better birth in my next life, in which I can actually serve. So he arrived in Puri. This was a secret desire. He did not say anything to anyone. But one day, Lord Chaitanya, he visited Siddha Bakula, the Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur, where Sanatana Goswami was residing. The Lord is within everyone's heart. He knows our every desire. He hears our every word. He sees our every act. And our spiritual advancement is not based on what the people of the world see, but what the Lord sees within our heart. So Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatana, he said, "You are a thief. You are a criminal. You want to destroy another person's property. This is sinful. Your body belongs to me. You have already surrendered. Your body belongs to me. To destroy my property is a sinful act. Cannot be done." Actually, everything is the property of the Absolute Truth. The true art of living is harmonizing our life with the will of God at every moment. His body is Krishna's. Our families is Krishna's. Our wealth is Krishna's. Therefore, such a thing as suicide is very, very sinful and is forbidden in the eyes of God. because it is Krishna's property, this body. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, I have so many things I want to fulfill through your body in my mission. You have no right to destroy it. Then Lord Chaitanya embraced him. When he embraced him, pus and blood smeared all over Lord Chaitanya's beautiful golden body. Sanatana Goswami was brokenhearted to see this. In fact, every day Lord Chaitanya would go to visit Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. And every day he would embrace him. Every day pus and blood smeared on his body. This was too much for Sanatana Goswami. So he decided to leave Puri and go to Vrindavan. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed his heart. He said, because you are my devotee, because of your love, and because of my love for you, you are just like a child. He said, just like when a mother cleans the stool and urine of her baby, due to her motherly love, it smells like sandalwood pulp. I guess this is a test of your love, dear mothers. It may not literally smell like it, but you get pleasure like smelling it because it's the love of little baby. Everybody else smells it, and oh my God, put that baby up. But for the mother, it's oh so nice, so sweet. Is it like that, mothers? Do you have that? Devotee ladies are too humble to admit that they have this spiritual experience. So similarly, because you are my child and I love you so dearly, the pus and the blood that's oozing from your body smells like chatushmada, which is a combination of sandalwood, camphor, saffron and agu. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And then again he went to embrace Sanatana, and again Sanatana tried to run away, but he captured him and embraced him. And this time all Sanatana's diseases went away, and his body became effulgently splendid like gold. And Haridas Thakur, upon seeing this, he became ecstatic. He said, my Lord, this is all your pastime. It was by your will that he drank that water and got that disease. It was by your will that for practically 1 year he suffered this disease, and it is by your will that now you have cured him. Because the Lord wanted to teach the world through his devotee. So many very, very essential and important lessons. And what is that lesson? Essentially, it is the nature of love. Through hardships, through confusion, the greater the obstacles, the greater the opportunity to show our love. Srila Prabhupada was asked by a professor that according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, tamstha dikshasva bharata, that one should be very, very tolerant. Happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, victory, defeat. One should be equiposed in all of these circumstances. Tamstha dikshasva bharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and its disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer season. One must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. And he gave example. According to Mahabharata, the son of Arjuna, Abhimanyu, was killed. And Arjuna was so much disturbed. He was overwhelmed with grief, as was his wife, Subhadra, the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. So why Arjuna was grief-stricken if Krishna already taught him in Gita that you should not be disturbed by any situation or according to the dualities of nature? So Prabhupada explained that it is human nature to feel emotion. And devotees, they don't become hard-hearted, they become very soft-hearted. Sometimes people confuse renunciation and spirituality with being very, very emotionless, hard-hearted, detached. But that is a very preliminary state. Real advancement, our heart becomes softer and softer and softer. Krishna is Makkhan Chor. He is butter thief. When our heart becomes soft like butter, then Krishna will steal our heart. So therefore, a devotee feels natural compassion. A devotee has relationships. But his emotions are centered around serving to Krishna. So yes, naturally, Arjuna's 16-year-old son was killed in a very unfair and violent way. So naturally, he felt emotional separation. That's the quality of a soft-hearted Vaishnava. But he was not disturbed, because his service to the Lord was not disturbed under that circumstance. He went back into the battlefield and he continued the fight. This is love. This is the process of attaining love, by remaining steady, by remaining faithful under all circumstances. Srila Prabhupada was such a transcendental personification of that principle. The principle of love in service. Here in 26 Second Avenue, nobody respected him at the beginning days. Nobody knew really anything about his greatness. When he came off the Jaladuta, who was here to meet him? Just some stranger from Travel Assistance Bureau. He was just paid to put him on a bus to Butler, Pennsylvania. Hare Krishna. How many tourists come from abroad to go to Butler, Pennsylvania? And he was just sitting all alone on this Greyhound bus. Hours and hours. What is it? Probably about a 12-hour drive to that place. And then some utterly materialistic people who were not following any regulative principles, who had no concern about Krishna or religion, they picked him up and brought him home. They didn't even really want him. Just out of some family pressure, they were forced to receive him. Very difficult. Somehow or other, he won their hearts by his good qualities. So many nice stories. I like to tell these stories. Sally Agarwal came to New Vrindavan some years back, and she was telling us some of the strange things about Swamiji. She said she couldn't understand. Every time Prabhupada would go into the bathroom, the house would start flooding with water. Satyaraj, you heard this story? My dear God brother Satyaraj Prabhu has graced us on this occasion. She said every time he'd go in the bathroom in the morning, in the afternoon, at night, three times a day, just water would start flooding out from the crack below the door and just start getting all of her rugs wet and just start, water would start filling up the house. She couldn't figure out, what is he doing in there? So one day she asked him, Swamiji, you know, what are you doing in the bathroom? He said, I'm taking bath. She said, well, everyone takes baths, but nobody makes the house flooded with water. How do you take your baths? Can you just show me? So he showed, like in India. He filled up the bathtub with water, and he stood outside the bathtub, and he took his lota, his little pot, and poured it over his head out of the bathtub. Sally Agarwal said, Swamiji, in America we take our bath in the bathtub. He said, you mean you stand inside of where the water is to be stored? So she tried to explain. Another time she was going by the bathroom and she heard this. Never heard such sounds from that. I mean, you hear all kinds of sounds coming out of bathrooms, but not that. So, Swamiji, what are you doing in there? He said, I'm washing my clothes. What he would do is he would on the bathroom floor, this is the way they do it in India, he would get his clothes wet, then he would just start beating it on the floor and hitting it on the floor and beating it on the floor and hitting it on the floor to clean it nicely. I said, Swamiji, that's not the way we do it in America. So how do you do it in America? She said, come with me. And she brought him to this laundromat with about 40 washing machines going, drying machines going. And Prabhupada looked around and it was a culture shock. She said, his eyes were open. She said, I never saw such a thing. Machines that wash your clothes. A simple life. And when Prabhupada had his first preaching engagement at the YMCA of Butler, Pennsylvania, Hare Krishna, in 1965, perhaps not the most receptive audience. Mostly old people go to YMCAs. He preached with such enthusiasm. What is Bhagavatam? Then he came to New York City. Didn't know anybody. I was telling Kostubha Prabhu just a few days ago, a nice story. Some years ago I was at the Rainbow Gathering. Does anyone here know what is the Rainbow Gathering? Raise your hand if you know. If you don't know, it's very difficult to try to explain. What it is thousands of people, usually 10 to 15,000 people, go deep into the national forests of a different state of America every year. Usually you have to walk at least a couple hours from the closest place you can park your cars. It's deep in the woods, and people just camp out and live like that, trying to find some higher experience in life every year. So at one time we were going with some other devotees and we were cooking prasad, and we would feed prasad for 2,000 to 3,000 people every night for dinner. Very nice. And then we would have kirtan, then dramas, then lectures, then more kirtans. So one night I was serving halava to this line of thousands and thousands of people. And one man, he was probably at least 65 years old. He had gray hair, but it was matted. And he had a gray beard. It was kind of a scraggly type of beard. And he had absolutely not a single stitch of clothing on his body. In other words, he was a naked man, a naked old man. And I looked at him like, I don't know where this man is coming from, but it's good that he's going to eat some halava. And he said to me, he said, "Are you a disciple of Swamiji?" And I said, "Swamiji, is he Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada?" He said, Yes, that's him, Swamiji. He said, "Show me a picture of your guru." I showed him a picture, photo from the books. He said, That's him. He said, "I know Swamiji. He's my good friend." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "In 1965. He said, "I was taking yoga classes from a Dr. Mishra. And Swamiji gave some lectures. They were very interesting lectures. But Dr. Mishra didn't like his lectures. So he would sing kirtans and he would sit in the back of the room. And I would go back there to talk to him. And Swamiji would say, 'Dr. Mishra's a nice man, but he's speaking all nonsense.'" And then he would preach to me. And he would take me to his little house in the Bowery or wherever it was. And he would give me prasad, and he was my good friend, my best friend. "Yes, I know you're Swamiji." But he will. So when Prabhupada came to New York, what a simple life he was living. There's a beautiful excerpt in his diary. Bali Mardan Prabhu. He actually revealed this very, very priceless treasure of Prabhupada's original diary that he had safekeeping over these years. And there's one entry that went something like this. Prabhupada said he had some program, he was invited. And like 5 or 6 people came to someone's apartment. And he said that, and he cooked the prasad, and he served it out. And he said, they liked the prasad, and they seemed to like the chanting. He said, "Now I can understand that Haridas Thakur's prediction that the holy name will spread throughout the whole world will be fulfilled." Hare Krishna. Now, if we had a program like that with 5 or 6 people, they kind of listened to the chanting politely and they liked the prasad, we would think, God, it's a failure. Yes? What if 5 or 6 people came tonight? We'd probably be depressed. But Prabhupada, he saw 5 or 6 people, just, they didn't even chant, they just liked it. They seemed to like it, and they seemed to like prasad. He could see this as a sign of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the whole world will take to the holy name of the Lord. Such positive attitude. Such faith. Faith in the order of his spiritual master, faith in the holy name of Krishna, faith in the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. Prabhupada was living with one boy. He came a little interested. He was writing to India, asking for financial help, asking for devotees to come and help him, but everyone thought it was such an impossible mission, they didn't want to waste their time or their money. Nobody helped him with anything substantial for his mission. Well, a few gifts came, but nothing really that would help his mission. He was alone. So he met one boy. And the boy said, "You could use my loft." So he stayed up in his loft, somewhere Bowery or something. And Prabhupada was so positive. He would just see such positive opportunities in every situation. He wrote back to his godbrothers in India that now it appears we finally have a center. The first Radha Krishna temple will be established in the Western world. And it was just some hippie's loft. And then one day the hippie couldn't find his soap and he thought Prabhupada stole his soap. And he was on LSD and he threatened to kill Prabhupada. So Prabhupada left. On the street with nothing, nowhere to go. Mukunda Goswami Maharaj, who was just a well-wisher at that time, somehow or other he found this little storefront. Very simple. 26 Second Avenue. And we're enough, he raised enough money for 1 month's rent and told Prabhupada, we don't know if we'll be able to continue the payments. And Prabhupada came here. He was so enthusiastic. And by this time he was 71 years old. He had already suffered several heart attacks. Hare Krishna. And his beautiful rooms in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar temple, were waiting for him. Simple but beautiful. Years later, Prabhupada was in his beautiful quarters in Los Angeles, and he told one of his disciples, he said, you remember my rooms in Vrindavan? Just simple clay floor. Very, very simple. He said, I long to be back there. But for me, that would be sense gratification. Because he was a life of service. Life of helping others. He was living for Krishna and for every living being. Here at 26 Second Avenue, he started so simple. First, no one was coming. Gradually, one by one, some people were coming. Any type of person. Didn't matter who they were, where they were from, what they were doing. Prabhupada would just see that little spark of interest in their heart and disregard everything else and fan that spark. With such care, such attention, and such love. Some of those early devotees, they said, we really couldn't understand his Bengali accent. But we never met a man who loved us so much. He just came. And plus, the food was so good. He was cooking. No one was giving donations. He wasn't expecting anything from anyone. He was just giving. He would go out and purchase the food himself. He would cook it in that little apartment upstairs across the alleyway into the courtyard. Cook by himself. This was the summer of 66. It's quite hot in New York in the summer. He didn't have air conditioning. Probably didn't even have a fan. He would cook for hours, make nice prasad, serve it out. He would clean up. He would do everything. There's that famous story of that one street person who came in off the street and used Prabhupada's toilet. He came in to use the toilet. Prabhupada's giving a lecture. And then the next day he comes back with a roll of toilet paper. Because devotees didn't use toilet paper in those days. They used water. So this poor street person thought that Prabhupada didn't have enough money for toilet paper. So he, as a gift of love, reciprocation, he brought him toilet paper. And Prabhupada pointed out that this is actually service. He praised this old street person, praised him from his heart. Who knows who that person is? Prabhupada blessed him for this very, very simple act of reciprocation. So what Prabhupada taught us is devotional service. And Prabhupada taught us as an acharya, by his example. His body, his mind, his words, his life, his everything was to serve. With Krishna in the center. To serve Krishna by giving Krishna. To everyone, everywhere, at all times. And this is the real essence of how to find happiness in life. Not through exploitation and accumulation, but through service, through love. Why is that the real force of happiness? Because that is the original nature of the soul. Svaipungsham karo dharmo yato bhaktir hokshati. Ahoitaki apriti hata vidatma supersede. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which awakens unconditional, unmotivated love, which is not interrupted by any circumstance. So Srila Prabhupada, he translated bhakti as devotional service. I remember the first day I was in Vrindavan, 1971. Like some inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, I was in Vrindavan. And I met one old sadhu. And he said to me something so simple, but so powerful. He said, bhakti means to serve. Then he walked away. Now I was, up until that point, I was reading all these intensely philosophical books. I was reading the philosophy of Buddhism, the philosophy of the Upanishads, Jay Krishnamurti, and all these different, very, very intellectual expressions by very, very learned scholars. And here this person tells me something so simple. Bhakti means to serve. I thought about that. For days I thought about that. And I realized, what a sublime statement. Ultimately, those four words are the essence of all knowledge. Love means to serve. It's the perfection and the way to attain the perfection. Then a few minutes later, I met another old sadhu, Brijabasi. He was Moni Baba. Do you know what is Moni Baba? Moni Baba means a person who vows throughout his life to never speak. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says that sometimes because people speak all nonsense, their guru tells them to take Moni Baba for eye. Better you don't speak anything than all nonsense. But the perfection of life is to speak about Krishna, not all nonsense. But this person, he would never speak. But he carried a little, I don't know where he found it, but it was just an old broken piece of a blackboard, chalkboard. He used to carry it around with him wherever he went, and he had a piece of chalk also. And he really spoke, but not with his mouth, with his little, he would only get a couple words out, and then he'd have to erase it, because it was only this big. So he sat me down on the bank of the Jamuna. Means I don't speak. So I sat down. And he sat down next to me. He took out his little chalkboard. He knew English. I was astounded. He wrote, "Everyone." Then he erased it. "In the world." Then he erased it. This is getting exciting. "Thanks." Then he erased it. "That the people of Vrindavan," erased it, "are crazy." Then he erased it. Then he looked at me really seriously. I was thinking, what is this? Then he wrote, "If you stay here long enough, you will become crazy too." It was my first day there. I didn't understand. But after some time, I realized what he was saying was true. When Prabhupada was here in New York, he wrote that little book. That was one of his first publications here in America. Was it not, Satyaraj Prabhu? Who is crazy? And in it, he explains how everyone's crazy. The materialists are crazy for sense gratification, and the devotees are crazy for Krishna. And the devotees think the materialists are crazy, and the materialists think the devotees are crazy. It's true. My mother and father, bless their precious souls, they were so loving and kind to me in their own way. But when I became a devotee, their hearts cracked in sorrow. How do you all? I disappeared in India for a few years and they didn't know how to reach me. Then I came back with a begging pot and a dhoti and a chadar and japa beads and a couple books. And they thought I was crazy. Then I went to their house and I slept on the floor. Not even in the house, I slept in the patio. And at 4 in the morning, I was having Mangal Arati on the patio. I had a little bell and a little picture of Radha Krishna this big and a little picture of Prabhupada. And I was offering Arati with the ghee lamp and then my father, and I was singing at 4 in the morning. All of a sudden, they hear these bells ringing and the singing. And they didn't know what to think. It was my first day home after being away for years. And they come outside and they see in the patio, and I'm offering Archie with this lamp and bells and singing and this incense. And my father says, "Son, what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm offering Archie." And then I turned around. I didn't realize that he didn't know what Archie meant. So. Then I came and I was living at one of Prabhupada's temples. And I wrote a letter. And I signed it, "Your servant," and then my name. And the next letter I got back, my father wrote, "Why do you demean yourself in such a way to call yourself a servant? You're an intelligent, bright young man. You have such a future ahead of you. Why do you demean yourself and as a servant?" So then the next letter I wrote back, the servant of your son. So Prabhupada explains in this book that the materialistic people think devotees are crazy because they have very, very different values. A devotee wants to be humble. A devotee wants to take a very simple and humble position to serve. And materialistic people are generally striving for higher positions of control. Materialistic people feel that that success in life is a greater facility for sense gratification, and devotees are trying to give up sense gratification. How is it? No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting. What will you do all day? Have you ever heard that before? It's unnatural. Even doctors, they think if you don't do these things, you can't live. I've spoken to them. Very well. But actually, the more we become crazy for Krishna, the more we actually come to our normal state. Prabhupada explains, are we the body or are we the soul? If we're the body, then devotees are really crazy. But if we're the soul, then devotees are normal. At the time of death, where is the person we love? then we realize that person is not their body, because the body's there. But the source of life that animated that body, the source of life that loved and reciprocated with me through that body, that is the real person. That consciousness is a symptom of the presence of the soul. Jivera Swarupoi, Krishnera Nityadas. The constitutional nature of the soul is to serve Krishna, the eternal soul, the supreme soul, with love. And the perfection of civilization is when people learn the art of sharing their love of Krishna with each other. Krishna says, the thoughts of my devotees always dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and discussing topics of me. Srila Prabhupada, he actually loved every living being without discrimination. He gave the ultimate respect and honor to the dignity of every soul because he saw a part of Krishna in their heart. And with his body, with his mind, with his words, with his life, he was the servant of every living being by sharing his love of Krishna with them. By sharing Krishna's mercy with them. And to many of us, this is what 26 Second Avenue represents. The abode of compassion. The abode of mercy. The abode of the topmost level of selfless service. The abode that made people crazy for Krishna. Kevala Ananda Kanda. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conception. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Such a joyful process. And there is nothing more powerful than the holy name of Krishna. Kali Kalaya Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. One who is truly empowered can spread the holy name of Krishna throughout the world. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. And in the age of Kali, Krishna descends within his name. Srila Prabhupada had that faith. The miraculous effects of chanting Hare Krishna and living in a spirit of servitude. So please, let us very, very deeply ponder on the substance of the highest reality and how to approach him. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratya. This material nature is very, very, very difficult to overcome. But if we please Krishna, if we attract the all-attractive, then we can easily cross beyond it. And how do we do that? Through the disposition of service. Through humility. Through respect for others, through a genuine concern for the welfare of others. In this role, in this consciousness, When we chant the holy names, very quickly Krishna reciprocates, purifies our hearts, and realize the infinite treasures of spiritual realization and love within our hearts. That is the matchless gift that was distributed from this storefront on the Lower East Side of New York. That is the great treasure that can bring real prosperity to the world. Thank you very much. Where? Arundhati Mataji. You are here? Haribo. Mataji, thank you for blessing us with your glance. Mataji is one of the very original disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Did you know we were just talking about you at great length? Yeah. Not here, but I was at New Vrindavan. And two of the very senior devotees there, Yadu Nandan and Taruni, do you remember them? They came to visit for the first time since 1974. And they were praising you with great emotion. Very well. These personalities, Arundhati Mataji, Andamukhi Mataji, Dayananda Prabhu, Satyaraj Prabhu. These are devotees who, they're pillars who have truly, you know, come forward to assist Srila Prabhupada. And several of these devotees, especially in time of great need in Prabhupada's mission, they came forward to assist and continue to assist. Much of our spiritual progress will be determined by how we are truly and genuinely grateful to those persons who made it possible for us to receive this wonderful gift of Krishna. Would you like to speak something, Arundhati Mataji? Thank you. Satyaraj Prabhu, would you like to speak something, please? He's author of so many classic literatures. He's building wonderful bridges between the Gaudiya Vaishnava conception of philosophy and theology and culture in the academic world. Yes, Prabhu.
I'd just like to say one thing. Satyaraj Prabhu has written many books, and we have his books here for sale. So, those of you who don't have any of his books, you check it out, and you can get him to sign it also.